As if it was needed, the issue of abortion has recently had a whole new can of gas poured on it with the release of a draft Supreme Court ruling calling for the return of Roe v. Wade, basically to the states for them to decide. Many states have already shown their hands. Some states have shared their plans to either limit or eliminate abortions. Others have said the welcome mat is out, door is wide open. New Jersey is one of the latter of those states. Here with her reaction to all this is the Executive Director of New Jersey Right to Life, Marie Tasey. How are you today, Marie?
I'm okay, Chris. How are you?
Good to have you. Talk about this. NJRTL.org is the website. Learn more about the work of New Jersey Right to Life and their focus on this very important issue. So Governor Murphy this past week made some comments about what his goals and hopes are for abortion access in New Jersey. Just how wide open did he throw the door?
He wants to make New Jersey an abortion tourism destination state. You know, he talked about it being a safe haven, which is really an interesting term since we have a safe haven law here in New Jersey that actually saves the lives of infants. And clearly what he's trying to do is end the lives of more infants in the state. And it's disgraceful. New Jersey has some of the most permissive laws in the nation, always has. We have the highest rate of abortions in all the states. You know, and they're just trying to make it even more broad. Abortions can now be performed here in New Jersey in law. It's been codified in law that they can be performed the entire 9 months of pregnancy for any reason. There's language in the a bill that Governor Murphy signed in January that allows a civil lawsuit to be filed if anybody's if any individual interferes in any way with the right, the fundamental right to abortion. There's really obviously a lot of concerns with that. The conscience clause for healthcare workers has not been protected, which certainly leaves open the possibility that you know, doctors and healthcare workers who refuse to participate in abortions, you know, could be obviously, you know, sued and penalized. In addition, he, through his board of medical examiners, requires that he actually changed the regulations to allow non-physicians to perform abortions in the first trimester and to allow all abortions to be performed in an office setting, not a hospital, not a licensed ambulatory care facility. And, you know, if you look at that in tandem with the fact that they can be performed the entire 9 months of pregnancy, it certainly puts, you know, women's lives and health at risk. And now he wants to mandate in law the regulation that allows non-clinicians to perform abortions in New Jersey. He also wants to mandate in law that all health insurance plans will include abortions with no copays, no deductibles, no co-insurance. Will certainly going to increase the premiums for the average consumer. He also wants to prohibit public entities from cooperating with interstate investigations into the provision or receipt of abortions, and to allow a person in New Jersey who has successfully sued in another state for their involvement in abortion to file suit to recover damages resulting from that lawsuit. He also wants to create a reproductive health access fund to pay for abortions for anyone who resides in New Jersey or anyone who comes into our state that are uninsured. Obviously, you know, a global haven for sex traffickers and sexual predators and abortionists who have, you know, clearly have a lot of, you know, have really hurt so many women. I mean, you have the Kermit Gosnells of the world, and you have the Stephen Brighams of the world who have harmed and killed women, and this is now going to be an open border state for abortionists like these, and obviously the women and young girls are the ones who will pay the price. He also wants to provide clinical training grants to expand the number of non-physicians to perform abortions and cover the cost to provide security measures to protect abortion clinics. It doesn't get too much more extreme than this.
No, and you know, you can judge a plan by the words and its content, but also by the absence in this case too, because as far as I can ascertain, having read Murphy's comments this past Monday word for word, I don't see a time limit, which leads me to believe that late-term abortions, no problem.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. The original law had no limits on gestation whatsoever. So, and no one has refuted that, you know, that point. So it's definitely going to codify in law that abortions can be performed the entire 9 months of pregnancy for any reason in the state of New Jersey, all paid for by taxpayers, either through their insurance premiums or Medicaid funds.
Marie Tasey, who is the executive director of New Jersey Right to Life, njrtl.org is their website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Now, obviously, this is Murphy's goal and mission to make, not just a sanctuary state, but an abortion state for New Jersey now, but it seems like he has a hindrance within his own party because the Assembly Speaker, a Democrat, President of the Senate, a Democrat, they're not too keen on this, apparently.
Well, they issued a very vague statement just saying that they support, a woman's right to choose, and they're very proud of the law that passed in January. You can read more into that if you like. I mean, if we look at what happened in January, Chris, they pushed this bill through. They actually introduced a bill like about a year and a half before this bill actually passed. And they couldn't get it through the legislature because it had some very extreme components, many of which are now what he's trying to do here, okay, what he announced the other day. But what they did is, last minute, they went behind closed doors and they drafted a very poorly worded bill in a very hastily manner. And it had very bad language and provisions in it, but basically allowed, the abortions to be performed the entire 9 months of pregnancy, allowed a civil lawsuit to be filed if anybody interferes with the right, tried to prevent the passage of any future laws, invalidating any laws that are currently in effect that would impede with that right. A very extreme bill, and they did not give sufficient public notice, so, people could not go and testify before the legislature. I mean, a few of us who obviously are very much involved in the legislative process were aware, became aware very last minute, and signed up to testify, and we were able to testify through Zoom after a 7.5-hour hearing that took that long because they couldn't decide on language, and they just quickly, hastily pushed this through. And then they scheduled it for a vote, the next voting session, which was 2.5 days later over a weekend. This was done on a Thursday night, and then Monday the bill was up for a vote. So they've done things, behind closed doors, and they've used a very unfair process. They've abused the legislative, authority. So they could certainly do this again, unfortunately. However, they did lose some seats in the Assembly, and they lost a very powerful state senator who was the state Senate president, Steve Sweeney, to a person who was not very well known. And so they may very well be a little more reluctant to do something like this again, but time will tell.
Yeah, I mean, the Speaker Coughlin and Senate President Scutari can express their support and concern over abortion access, but truth be told, they're looking at, as Marie just referred to, there's cracks in their grip on the two chambers, and they want to make sure those cracks don't get any bigger through doing something that might alienate voters and send them off to the side to vote for another truck driver that got Sweeney booted out, for example.
Well, we can only hope. And they're all up. Both houses of legislature up for re-election next year in 2023. So that's not that far off. No. And clearly that, they're looking over their shoulders.
You referred to Kermit Gosnell before. We've talked about his house of horrors here on the show many, many times over the years. Are there, within Murphy's plan, again, I didn't hear anything that would prevent anything to at least immediately, effectively stop another Gosnell from setting up shop? I mean, the organizations like yours, for example, I know would search and double check and speak out, but there's more penalties and more, more incentive not to look because of what you're risking as an individual and organization to see if something is going wrong within these abortion chambers and literally, your neighborhood urgent care center could be now an abortion chamber if this law gets into play.
That's correct. I mean, obviously we would have to be, very vigilant and, hopefully people would contact us if these situations occurred. But again, is there going to be any recourse for women who will be injured? No doubt it, undoubtedly. by these type of provisions that clearly do not help women, and will not be looking to try to save their lives and protecting their health. It's all about selling the abortion, and Governor Murphy wants to protect the abortion industry at all costs. And we know that women are injured by abortion. We know that women still die from abortion. And we also know that there's a lot of unsavory characters that perform abortions. And what he's doing here is just really making abortion, making it a lot less safe for women in New Jersey to have abortions.
Just to wrap up here, what a good approach to counter efforts like we're seeing with the Governor Murphy and a few other states, fortunately just a few so far, to maybe get into some sort of really fine-tooth comb legal definition. All right, let's legally define what is life. That seems to be what's missing here, because I think if we had a detailed medical scientific definition, which we have a lot more equipment and capabilities now than we did in 1973,
right,
a lot of this headbutting might just be subsided a bit.
Well, they just always ignore the humanity of the child in the womb, and they never want to talk about, the advances that have been made and since 1973. They make the argument, we won't go back. But in reality, they are the ones that are going back, because they ignore the science. And, everybody wants to say, follow the science. Well, if you follow the science, it's undeniable and indisputable that a child in the womb is a living human being and clearly is a person. And under Roe versus Wade, Harry Blackmun said, if it could ever be proved that the fetus is a person, the fetus should be protected under the 14th Amendment to the Constitution. And that time clearly has come. We knew it back in 1973, and clearly we make it's very clear right now that that's the case. We have so many advances in medicine and science that have occurred since then. We have the ability to perform life-saving surgery on a baby in the womb and correct many conditions and disabilities that they could not do before. And when doctors do that, they give anesthesia to both the mother and the baby because they recognize that they are both patients. And again, we have ultrasound machines. We can see the baby's heart beating before a woman even knows she is pregnant. The development of the baby in the womb is just so rapid. Obviously this child has separate DNA, separate blood supply, little fingers and toes. I mean, it's just amazing how quickly these children, grow in the womb, and, certainly because of their humanity are deserving of legal protection. But having said that, I think it's so important for the pro-life movement to really redouble our efforts to reach out to women in crisis, to let them know that we love them. We love them and their child. We love them both, and we will do everything we can to support them and help them. And there are wonderful crisis pregnancy centers located in New Jersey. I think there's 54, and there are about 4 maternity homes here that will house the women while they're pregnant, and even after they give birth, they will house them, provide child care, get them involved in education improvement programs until they can get on their feet, and raise their child. So there's so much help out there, and there's also the New Jersey Safe Haven Law that says that any child that's 30 days old or younger, if the parent is unable to care for the child or does not want the child, they can drop that child off at any emergency room of any hospital, any police stations in the state of New Jersey. They just expanded the law to allow them to drop the child off at fire stations and rescue squads that are open 24 hours a day, and they're now teaching it in classrooms in high school. There are so many, obviously alternatives to abortion, and, we hope that more women will choose life. And as the national debate continues, which it undoubtedly will, and we have so many states that are going to protect life, the momentum will be here in New Jersey eventually, and we will change what we have here, and we will change New Jersey to be one that respects life.
There are indeed options, of which you can learn more at the website for New Jersey Right to Life. And if this is an issue, too, that what Governor Murphy has said has irritated you, angered you, compelled you to want to get involved, you want to get involved with Marie's organization, New Jersey Right to Life, learn more about that as well at njrtl.org, where she is the executive director of New Jersey, Right to Life. Marie Tasey, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much, Chris, for the opportunity.